Tamara.
And I'm Rel.
And welcome to Fearful Friends Podcast.
Hello.
Hi. How's your week been?
It's been about the same as it always is. The lead up to Easter.
Oh, God.
Which is, I mean, as a non-religious person, it's not a holiday.
It's never felt like a holiday much to me.
And you're a religious person.
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't know. It's just a lot of food that people prep, I guess. I don't know. It's our last hurrah as far as season goes. And then after that, maybe we'll have just a little bit of normalcy.
Yeah. I'm looking for, like, season to just slow down.
Yeah.
And, like, all these.
Less crotchety people. Less traffic no birds, on the roadways. Gone.
Leave. Goodbye.
See you later. See you next year. Maybe. But there's been so many people that moved here permanently. Like, the last couple of years. Pandemic.
Yeah. Yep.
What did it? I think I read something. It was, like, over 300,000 just in, like, the Treasure Coast or some shit. I could be wrong.
No. That sounds about right. Feels about right.
It feels right because It takes me 45 minutes to get anywhere.
Yeah. So I just got back from Disney, and it chewed me up and spit me out.
Beef jerky.
I literally feel like a dehydrated carcass.
Why are you here?
At the same time, I also feel like I'm retaining water. So, like, I've got bruises all over me. I have a weird rash on my back.
That's just from the heat. That's a heat rash.
I feel like I'm on drugs or something. I'm so drowsy. But it was so fun.
You just
fun.
Got back yesterday?
Yes, yesterday.
So, yeah, you should have just, like, napped all day.
I did yesterday.
Okay.
And
yeah, that's what you do when you get back from a trip like that.
Oh, I'm just so exhausted. I need a vacation from this vacation.
That's you. Matt and I always give ourselves an extra day when we go away. We give ourselves an extra day when we get back. You got to do laundry. You got to relax, take a nap, get the house back in order, prepare for your week.
Yeah. I've tried to. I did unpack as soon as I got home because I knew if I didn't do it then, I wasn't ever going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
that shit will sit in your suitcase. Get spiders.
Ew. It was so fun just to see M. Like,
tell me about it. As someone who's never been to Disney, I do not understand. I don't understand the hype. But tell me about it.
I'll tell you one thing. I will never go, like, this time of year again. And in fact, I'm only going November through January. That's it. That's the only time to go to Disney World.
It was out of season.
It was miserable. It was so freaking hot.
There's too many fucking people here. Well, it's going to be hot November through January, but
like,
at least it'll be, like, less tourists.
Like, oh my God. It was just, like, miserable. The first day we went to Magic Kingdom, and we were sweating before we even got into the park. The second day at Epcot was a lot nicer. It was still really fucking hot. Like, that midday, like, noon. Yeah. It's miserable.
I was outside for 20 minutes the other day gardening, and I got a heck of a sunburn.
Right.
It still itches.
But, like, we've been saving up for this. Trip. We've been saving up for this since Em was born. My mom specifically bought a Disney, like, rewards credit card when she was born and saved all of those points for 6 years. And then on top of that, like, every time we go to Target, we would get a Disney gift card because you get, like, 5% off with your Target card or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just so fun to just be like, yeah, whatever you want. Like, we would go into, like, gift shops and can I have, yep, yeah, you can have whatever you want.
Because it's already been paid for.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we spent very little on the trip. Like,
that's awesome.
The hotel and the tickets.
Because she's six now, so you've been saving for 6 years.
Yeah. The hotel and tickets were paid for strictly with points. And we still had, like, $400 worth of points to spend, like, on Disney property.
And you can use that at restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, you could have gone to, like, Epcot and just, like, drank around the world for free.
Yeah. Like, and then the gift cards. Like, I still have gift cards left over.
Well, now you can start planning your next trip.
Yeah. So, that was a lot of fun. But now my body is Just
when do you have to go back to work?
Monday. So today's Friday.
You're good. You have the weekend.
Yeah.
You can relax, recoup. Maybe sit out in the hot sun.
No.
I don't know. For some people, that's relaxing. That sounds terrible.
I'll go outside like at like 6 o'clock now.
A.M. or P.M. Both of those work.
Yeah. But P.M. After work, I'll sit outside on the patio. But,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
I did. I want to go back on vacation. I'm already thinking about our next trip. Like, there's stuff that we didn't get to do that I want to go back and do.
That's so funny because my husband was just like, oh, you can't see everything that there is to see at Disney in just a couple days. You have to, like, spend multiple days in one park. And I'm like, that's bullshit.
It's true, though. Like, we didn't get to do any meet and greets with any of the characters. And I can tell, like, I didn't plan for that. For, like, her wanting to do that. But she, like, she was
kind of... All kids want to do that.
She was kind of disappointed. Like, I've never, like, seen her, like want to do that stuff like that. But... So I would definitely do that next time.
My thing is like, kids these days are not into, like, the old school Disney princesses like we were. Like, Belle and Ariel and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, like... That they don't have a Moana princess walking around or whatever new Disney fucking thing is going on right now. They don't have that at the park.
Right.
So, like, there's a giant flounder walking around just scaring kids and they don't know what it is.
Well, there was, like, a Belle dressed up that we walked by and I was like, oh, you know, like, oh, wave to Belle. And then she, like, started crying and she's like, I want to go see Belle. And I'm like, you've never even seen Beauty and the Beast.
How do you know what Belle is?
Yeah. So, there's definitely more to
you
do.
Show Beauty and the Beast. It was the first movie that ever traumatized me.
All the Disney movies are traumatizing.
Beauty and the Beast was the first movie that actually, like, gave me the heebs. Did I scare you?
No.
Because remember, like... When the movie first starts and it like zooms in on Castle and it's like spooky ooky music. Oh, and then after her dad gets kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so spooky. It gave me nightmares when I was a kid. You know what other movie? Princess and the Goblin. That fucking thing was so scary.
I don't
scary.
Even remember that. All I remember
was
no,
not a Disney movie.
Lion King. Lion King. I remember being 4 years old and crying.
Lion King because you don't want to see death.
Yeah.
That young. Same thing with Bambi.
Disney's great.
It teaches you about life.
Oh, God. Yeah. I really don't want to go back to work.
I wouldn't.
I'm, like, already feeling, like, Sunday scaries.
I mean...
Into vacation. Horror.
Just make this weekend count.
I'm gonna.
Yeah. Have fun. Do all the things you want to do that you can't do.
Sleep.
While you're grinding. Yeah, basically. Sleep. Maybe go out to dinner with your husband. I don't know.
I don't even like him like that.
Ew, cooties.
Gross. Ugh. So do you have any bitching about work? Bitching about customers?
I think I did. I already did it. People are just annoying in general. Everybody's potatoes. I got yelled at today because, first of all, I forgot that, like, people dye eggs. You know?
Right.
Apparently, you can't dye brown eggs.
No.
But all my white eggs have been out of stock for, like, a really long time. I mean, like, I maybe only get, like, a couple cases of each. I'm a dairy manager, by the way, in case anybody cares. And, yeah, I got schooled today because they were like, you're an idiot. You can't dye brown eggs. And I was like, oh, yeah.
By customers?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I was like, I have plenty of brown eggs. Why do you want the white eggs so bad?
Go to Walmart if you want white eggs.
I know. Why are you coming to fucking eggs you're going to dye and probably throw away? Like, get out of here. I don't really have much else. Whatever. My answer is always going to be people are potatoes. I'm sick of cleaning up after people. My PSA is always going to be put things back where you found it. I'll say it every episode.
I saw that. Put it back.
I saw that. Put it back. I can literally see you. I'm inside the cooler. You're opening the door. I can see you.
And you're those creepy eyes watching me.
Today, someone dropped something, and I can hear whenever somebody drops something. And I walked around the corner. I, like, walked out of my cooler onto the sales floor, poked my head around, and was like, did it break? She was like, no, I don't think so. And I was like, good. I walked back in my cooler.
You're like a terrifying troll in a cave.
Bro, people are pigs, and I'm sick of it. I can hear it. But, you know, when they break something, they either leave it right there in the middle of the floor or they just, like, put it on the shelf broken so that it leaks on everything else. Again, I say, people are potatoes. Well, in a world of potatoes, be a broccoli. Grow. Sprout. Be beautiful.
Sprout. Well, all I want to bitch about is my coworkers.
You haven't been at work.
I am afraid to go back. And there's, you know, they all make my job hard in their own special fucking way. But there is one bitch in particular who I am really, really, like, sick of and really stressed out to go back to work because I don't want to deal with her. Because she's, number one, she's fucking stupid.
Fair.
She is old and, like, whatever. Why did people get dumb as they get old?
I don't think they get dumb as they get old. I just think that they don't keep up with the times.
I think maybe it's lead poisoning. This is just fucking dumb.
Could be. Like, ageism. I have been accused of ageism, but I just think that if you're old, you should be in another state.
Just, like, don't make my day worse.
We should be separated by a border.
If you think because of your age, you deserve to have all this extra time off and you need extra breaks, that's ageism because you think is ageism. That you deserve more than me.
Well, it's the same thing as, like, fucking cigarette break takers. They shouldn't get extra breaks just because they smoke cigarettes. You shouldn't get extra breaks just because you decided to age. It's not our fault that you didn't kill yourself when you were 37.
Like, this is the pace of the job. If you can't keep up, then, like, that's not really our fault.
Yeah.
Because there's
a job. You signed on for this.
We're running a business and things need to be done.
You signed on for this. When you accept a job, there are certain job tasks that you also accept. Like, for instance, for, like, my thing, it's like you have to lift up to 50 pounds. Right. If you can't do that, bye-bye. This isn't for you.
Well, like, we work on computers all day. This lady cannot use a computer. And it makes my job.
How did she get a job?
She's been in banking her whole life.
Oh, so she was like grandmothered in.
Oh, you know, she's going to know everything. She understands banking and she doesn't even understand
how to get inside the building on time. That's funny. They hired her without knowing her technological savvy.
We asked her all about it. She knew everything. At the time of her interview, she understood everything about our machines. We, like, discussed the different types of machines we work off of. And she's like, yeah, yep, I know how to use those. I asked her to open her browser one day, and she opened up her email. Like, everything. Everything that she does, she needs help with. Okay?
That's just how they are.
She needed help composing an email. We email, I send, like, 100 emails a day. Why do you need help?
So many emails.
Sending an email.
So they don't send emails in their personal lives?
And then she asked me, what date is this email from? Looking at the email, I'm like, it's right at the top. Where? I don't see it. Right here. It's so freaking, so aggravating. And she does dumb shit. Like, she has to ask me for help in, like, every aspect of like, the day. So she comes back to the teller line. She was in the break room and she's like, I can't close the refrigerator door. Can you come help me? And I was like, no.
Oh my goodness.
No. And
if it was like, I can't close my till, I would think about it because you can't just leave the money open. But Figure it out. Slam the door. Move a yogurt.
Do you think I'm going to walk away, leave the teller line alone to come help you close a refrigerator door? What is wrong with you? She comes back a few minutes later.
Oop, the chair leg was in the way.
Waddling around. You couldn't figure it out. You had to walk away. Come ask someone else for help who's working when you're just lollygagging in the break room for what reason?
Do you guys do a review system?
Oh, yeah. She's definitely in trouble right now.
Oh,
yeah. Good. She's on some action plans. District managers are involved.
Good.
But I have clearly stated to my boss that I will quit. I'm not working with her any longer. So
wow.
They don't care. They're like, well, you need to document everything. I have like a huge, long, like notes file on everything that she does. Every stupid question, every mistake she makes, every customer she pisses off.
Good.
They don't care. All they say to me is, well, document it.
Document it.
Okay, I'm documenting it. Now what?
Is it like a probationary period or like a review?
Both.
Okay, so when that rolls around, you can give her the thing. And
I've printed it out. I've sent it to district managers. Next is going to be HR because I can't work with this lady any longer.
Oh my God. Honestly, you always have a job at
the other week. The other week, we had a meeting early in the morning and I scheduled her to open. So our meeting was at 8. I scheduled her at 7:45. She came and said, what time do I need to be in for the meeting? And I said, well, what time are you scheduled? She said 7:45. I said, well, 7:45 then. And then later on in the day, she said, do I need to adjust my time because I came in early? I said, well, what time did you come in? She said 7:45. I said, that's what time I scheduled you at.
That's not early.
Do you think that I sit and work on the schedule for hours?
Do you work on the schedule for hours?
Yes.
You spend hours working on a schedule?
Our schedule is ridiculous.
How many people do you have? That's
like four? Seven people that I make. I used to make the schedule for an entire grocery store. And it didn't take me this long.
No, it took you like 20 minutes.
This is how stupid it is there. Whatever.
Oh my God.
Hey, you scheduled me at 7:45. What time do I need to be in? I don't know. Try 7:45. Just an idea. That's what I wrote on the schedule. That's what time I need you to be in. It also says meeting at 8. Well, do I need to adjust my time because I came in at 7:45? No, because it says come in at 7:45.
And I will schedule you accordingly.
She walked up to me with a ripped piece of paper and asked for help. I am so frustrated with her.
Paper?
Yeah, it was a deposit slip that was ripped.
Does that even matter?
It wouldn't run through the thing. I don't know. Try some tape.
Type it in or something.
Try some tape. Or, I don't know, get a new slip. Why would you come and ask me for help on that?
Okay.
Like, you are a fully grown adult. In every aspect, she has to ask me for help. And it just makes me crazy. I'm so fed up. And every day going into work, I have a stomach ache because I have to work with her.
Well, hopefully, they will get rid of her because she's garbage.
I hope she's so. Garbage. My poor boss has... As soon as this lady walks in the door, I run to my boss's office and I just like have to like unleash on her because I'm so frustrated. Within 10 minutes of dealing with her, I'm in my boss's office ranting about how I can't handle it.
Did you ever work with anybody at Winn-Dixie that was that frustrating?
If I did, I blocked it out, but I don't think so. I mean, there are some dumb people. Like,
it just like it's, I mean... It's those same people that are, like, the ones going through the grocery stores, like, what aisle is your olive oil? I don't know. Maybe the one that says oil on the top of the aisle. It's just, like, shit like that. They're just... I'll say it again. People are potatoes.
They're so stupid. I have a real issue with showing people things over and over and over again. I'll show you once, I'll show you twice. But other than that, most of the stuff that we're doing is pretty fucking simple. And if I have to come and show you something multiple times that no one has ever showed me, that I just figured it out because I am a human and I'm an adult
and you
who
play
has
with
common
things.
Sense. If I have to show you something that I figured out multiple times, we're going to have a real problem at work.
Yeah.
And this lady is just constantly testing me.
Try it.
So I really don't want to go back to work on Monday.
Just remember, it's what pays the bills until you come work with me. Yeah. My boss will take you.
Right? It's so far.
There's one right next to your house.
I don't think I could work there.
Why not?
Because it's in the building that we used to work at.
You would be fine.
No, I don't think I could.
You would be fine.
I have a hard time driving by that parking lot. Still.
It would be like going back in.
So close to my house.
And it's a busy store. It's busier than my store.
It's hard. It's really hard for me.
I know. Well, what do you have to cheer me up today? Because now I'm depressed.
I do have my story. You told me you don't find cryptid stories very interesting.
Some of them.
So I took that as a challenge.
Most of them.
I took that as a challenge. I was like,
oh shit, did you already have this plan when I said that? And you were like, oh fuck.
No.
Oh.
I just found it on my list and I was like, well, it's like kind of a cryptid. It's like,
is it a Wendigo?
No.
Oh.
But I do like Wendigos.
I know. I'm going to do a story about Wendigos because those are the only cryptids that are actually fucking scary.
Yeah. I won't take that. It's like, this is a cryptid legend folklore story.
Okay.
It's, you know, from like history, which is how I'm sure all cryptids are from, but I just really love it. So I'm going to start with reading you a story.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
I'm nervous.
Don't be.
Don't. Nervous.
So this is a story written by Veronica Bird.
Okay.
Okay?
Tell me, Vicky.
What?
I said, tell me, Vicky.
Okay. All right. Brother Emmett Fisher was a fine-looking young man who lived in a tiny community on the Georgia coast. He was well-respected in town for being an honest, hard-working fellow. Although he wasn't wealthy, he made a nice enough living doing handiwork for local townspeople. Emmett was getting close to marrying age, and every woman in town was jumping at the chance to be his chosen. He'd have unexpected visits from different women every day bearing gifts of fried chicken, gumbo, cakes, cookies, and other delicacies. But Emmett had his eyes set on a beautifully mysterious young woman who lived alone in a small cabin deep in the marsh. She was incredibly beautiful, with long dark hair, smooth skin, and piercing green eyes. But word around town was...
Was she a mermaid?
No, that would be cool. Word around town was that she was a little strange, and it was best to stay away from her. Emmett, however, couldn't get this mysterious woman out of his head. What made her even more intriguing was the fact that she could walk through town, turning heads with every step, but never did she acknowledge the admiring glances or catcalls from numerous hopeful would-be suitors. In fact, no one in town could ever remember this woman speaking a word to anybody. After several months of watching this gorgeous beauty walk through town, Emmett finally worked up enough nerve to call on her at her marsh cabin. His plan was to go fishing one day in a tidal creek that just so happened to be near her home. While out fishing, he conveniently broke his water jug into 100 little pieces. Brother Emmett walked up to the woman's house and knocked on the door. As the door slowly creaked open and the woman peeked out, Emmett nervously cleared his parched throat. "Excuse me, ma'am," he stammered. "My name is Emmett Fisher, and I seem to have broken my water jug. Could you please spare me just a cup of water? I'm mighty thirsty." The woman smiled and invited him in without hesitation. Her voice was even more beautiful and silky than Emmett had imagined. She not only gave Emmett a cup of water, but to his surprise, asked him to stay for supper. The food was delicious, and the woman waited on Emmett hand and foot. Before he knew it, she had invited him to stay for breakfast the next day, then lunch, then another dinner. Suddenly, in the blink of an eye, Brother Emmett found himself married to the mysterious woman. After their sudden marriage, Emmett and his bride got along reasonably well for a while, but after a few months, he began to notice that something peculiar... I can never say that word.
It's a hard word.
...was going on with his new wife. On certain nights, when the clock struck midnight, Emmett would sometimes wake up to find that his wife wasn't in bed with him, nor could she be found anywhere in the house. Emmett began to get worried that she might be seeing someone else on the side and confronted her about it, but she would just laugh and reassure him that she was indeed in the house and that he must be having nightmares. As his wife began to disappear more often, Emmett decided to confide in one of his best friends who had also just gotten married. After hearing Emmett's story, his friend shook his head and said, "Emmett, I hate to say this, but it sounds to me like you might have married yourself a boo hag."
The fuck is a boo hag?
A boo...
She... Lot lizard?
A lot lizard.
Is that the same thing?
No. A boo hag? I can't do it. Asked Emmett.
You have to do it in an accent.
I can't. What's a boo hag?
Oh, that's me. I said that.
His friend went on to explain.
Well a boo hag. Exactly.
Thank you. It's an evil spirit that wakes up at night, sheds her skin like a snake, and flies outside and sucks the blood of victims near and far.
Oh my god. It's like in The Witcher.
I don't even remember that.
The show Witcher. On Netflix with Henry Cavill.
Oh, I don't think I didn't watch it.
Ah!
Tamara.
You have to watch it.
Okay.
Henry Cavill's so hot. Go on.
A boo hag is an evil spirit that sits on your chest and steals your voice. A boo hag is an evil spirit that sits on your back and rides you all night like a horse until you drop dead.
That's exciting.
You would. Horrified.
Depending on who you ask, that's not a bad thing.
Horrified, Emmett said, "Well, I sure don't want to be married to no boo hag, if that's what she is. What am I going to do about it?" The only way to get rid of a boo hag is to make sure she can't get back into her skin. When she's gone, take a look in the closet. If you see her skin hanging there...
Ew.
Right? Take it off the hook.
Whose skin is it, though?
Fill it with salt, put it back in the closet, and then lie back and watch. Around midnight that evening, Emmett rolled over in bed and found that his wife was gone. He did what his friend told him to do. He got up, went to the closet, and found his wife's skin hanging there, cold and slimy to his touch, like a lizard's skin.
So she's like a slug. They're gonna put salt in it and burn the slug.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Disgusting.
He filled it with salt, hung it back in the closet, and then went back to bed and waited for his wife to return. Sure enough, as the sun was about to rise that morning, the door opened and in walked his skinless wife. She opened the closet door, took her skin off the hook, and spoke to it in a gravely witch-like hiss. "I've done been out and had my fun."
You have to say it in the accent.
I can't do accents.
You have to try.
But I'm back now and my work's all done. So let me in, skin, for the sun's about to crest. You know I'm a boo hag and I need my rest. She then stepped into her skin and fastened it around her body. But after a while, that salt started to itch and burn her. She tried to yank the skin off, but the more she tried, the tighter the skin pressed against her body. She screamed and hollered and jumped around her room, her skin burning her alive. With that, Emmett leapt out of the bed and said, "I've got you now, you boo hag witch. You fooled me."
And she's like, "I just have psoriasis. You're burning me."
"You tricked me into marrying you, so now I'm going to kill you, and nothing else can be done." With that, he shoved the boo hag into a large barrel of tar he had been cooking on the hearth.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And that boo hag burned and melted, her screams filling the air for miles and miles. After the boo hag was dead, Emmett, being the handyman that he was, knew exactly what to do with that hot barrel of tar. As the sun rose that morning, he took the tar up to the top of his house and poured himself a brand new roof. So all of you nice, hardworking, fine-looking young men out there, the next time your eye is caught by a beautiful young girl, you better know to get her before you marry her. You better get to know her.
I was going to say, that's the problem is that they got her before they knew her.
Because one day, you two may wake up late in the midnight hour, roll over in bed, and find yourself sleeping next to a boo hag. The end. So again, that story was written by Veronica Bird off of moonlitroad.com.
I've never heard of a boo hag.
I hadn't either until I was listening to a podcast around like October. And it took me a really long time to like try to find this. I spent like hours trying to find this so I could.
I feel like this falls more into the urban legend category.
Yes, like legend, folklore, all of that.
This ain't no damn cryptid. Cryptids are real.
Okay. right. Yes. Okay. All right.
People think cryptids are real. There's no way a boo hag is real. Well, unless she's an alien.
You're an alien.
I could be an alien. We could all be. We technically are.
We are. Okay. So.
Oh.
My story is.
Oh, there's more. Yes,
that was just the beginning. So, the boo hag is a creature known in the Gullah culture. The Gullah people. Gullah.
What's that?
Gullah. Like Gullah Island. I'm going to explain it. That's my next.
Oh, thank God. I was like, was I supposed to know the Gullah Island song?
I think you're too young for that. You never watched that?
Familiar.
I think it was on like Nickelodeon or something.
Is it like Out of the Box?
No, but it was.
Out of the Box. Out of the Box.
Out of the Box. Yeah.
So long, farewell to you, my friends. Goodbye for now. Until we meet again. It's been great to play and sing together. I remember the outro song, word for word.
Are we going to get sued? What about...
We can't be sued from a show that's no longer in the run anymore.
What about PB&J Otter?
That doesn't sound familiar. Zubumafu?
That was the same channel. Back to the Gullah people.
We just were interested in different things.
Exactly.
Sorry.
The Gullah people originate from West Africa, forced to the New World. The quote,
she's
New
doing
World.
The quotes.
In the 1500s for slavery. They were brought to the Low Country of South Carolina, where they were forced into a harsh life working in sugarcane and indigo plantations. Over the centuries, the Gullah culture was born of these banded together communities of slaves living in the Low Country islands. The most infamous legend in Gullah culture is the boo hag. The Gullah people believe that if you were an evil person in life, your soul will descend to hell, but your spirit stays behind and mutates into the boo hag creature. This belief stems from hoodoo religion, where they
hoodoo?
Believe...
Hoodoo? You do?
I do.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
They believe your soul and your spirit are separate. Your soul goes to heaven and your spirit stays behind to guide your descendants. What is a boo hag, you've asked? Thank you, Rel, for asking.
I did ask several times without answer. Thank you.
It is a skinless monster with only muscles and veins visible. Some are depicted with long white hair that grows, reminiscent of the hair that seemed to grow on a corpse after it dehydrates.
Fun fact, corpses don't actually grow more hair, but their skin just
shrinks.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you were saying? Sorry.
This creature is said to slip into its victim's home through any crack or crevice it can find. The boo hag will climb on top of you or, quote, ride you and feed off the air in your lungs until sunrise. The Gullah people...
I've done that before.
You've done what before? What have you...
Climb on someone and...
And feed off
the air
in their lungs?
Air.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's why you're my best friend. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a boo hag here with us today.
Boo hag. I just feel like I want to have like a Louisiana accent for yes. some reason.
You're correct.
But yeah. I don't know how to do a Louisiana accent.
I know, me either.
It's very offensive in my head.
Yeah.
It's boo hag with the crawdad.
Thank you. It was beautiful.
That's all I know.
Better than I could do.
We'll edit that out. It's terrible.
The Gullah people even have a saying, don't let the hag ride ya. Victims of the boo hag are said to wake up feeling extremely tired from the feeding. The most unlucky victims wake up during this visit and try to escape or attack the creature. When this happens, the boo hag will steal your skin, leaving you for dead. The skin is
so you just have to like play dead.
Yeah. The skin is then used to disguise the creature when it flees in the morning after the feed and allows it to walk amongst humans unnoticed. The next night, the creature removes its skin to feed again on its next victim. The boo hag must be back in its skin suit before dawn to survive. The Gullah people have learned to trick the boo hag to prevent it from riding you at night. The boo hag...
Protection.
The boo hag, she's got some OCD tendencies. Okay.
They're very particular about who they ride.
No, what they're particular about is counting.
Okay.
There is a forced obsession with count. So the most effective way to prevent an attack is to place a broom at the door of your bedroom or house.
That also scares me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sweep your house.
No. The creature is then forced to stop and count every bristle of the broom. If it loses count, it will start all over again.
That's the OCD?
Yeah.
She has to count the bristles?
She's got an obsession with counting.
Who thought of this?
I don't know, but brooms are seen in like... I want to say like African culture a lot. Like you see them like in weddings, they jump over a broom. And then there are like other cultures where like the broom is used for sweeping out bad spirits. So I think that's really where it came from.
Huh.
This creature, she's got a count.
Okay.
Okay.
So 778 bristles later, where are we at?
Morning, hopefully.
Yeah. It takes her all day to count all
yes,
the...
because if God she...
damn it, I lost my count!
Exactly. She has to start over. The goal of this is to distract the boo hag all night until the sun comes up and is not able to get back into its skin suit. I wrote skin shit. And dies in the sunlight. Even though it's already dead, which I didn't understand.
But is it dead?
It's a spirit.
But it's a spirit. It's not dead. It's not like a zombie.
Okay.
It's a spirit.
Make it make sense.
I can't. It's a boo you rag tried. Or whatever. A boo rag. What is it? Boo rag?
Boo hag.
I like boo rag better. Slimy. You know, like a boo rag.
Other objects used for distraction are brushes, colanders, or pennies.
Do they have to count the holes in the colanders?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
If you are able to sprinkle salt on the hag as it rides you, it will be unable to return to its skin suit and will die in the morning.
You could just stick your fingers in its mouth.
Salty fingers. Because your hands are salty. I will let them know.
Thank you.
This is said to be extremely difficult because you have to be quicker than the boo hag or she will kill you and steal your skin.
Good luck. Yeah. I'm in debt.
Right.
Have fun.
Another deterrent is using a special shade of blue paint around your house.
They had paint back then?
That has become known as haint blue. And
you know why? Because they were on indigo farms.
Exactly. Yeah, and this has become a really popular color in the South, and you can actually buy paint called Haint Blue. It's like a color.
Haint?
And you can haint at Home Depot. Haint is another word for spirit or ghost.
Ooh. What color of blue is it?
This color is said to be so close to the sky and water that spirits get confused.
And so it's like periwinkle blue.
It's like really, really light blue. You can Google it right now and look at, like, Google Haint Blue.
Phone out of my butt.
Google Haint Blue ceilings, and you can see what the color is.
Googling. Aw, I get it. That's not bad.
So the color is so close to the sky and water that spirits get confused and think they are at a body of water which they cannot cross, or are in the open sky swept up by the wind to be killed by the sun.
I mean, I don't know if it's that close, but
right.
I guess spirits are stupid.
I just burped into the mic.
Oh, that's fine. I've been doing it this whole time.
The Gullah people worked on the indigo plantations, and the color became a part of this folklore. It is still popular in homes in the South to paint your porch this color. I personally love the historical homes and traditional style of, like, old Florida. Like, I cannot walk by those books in Walgreens that are, like, Florida history. And I'm sure they have them on every state. Because I just am so obsessed with, like, old school traditional Florida. And especially in the Keys, which is where I first noticed mm-hmm. this color that people paint their porches or the ceiling of their porch.
Yeah, I saw a lot of ceilings, like, on the Google yeah. search. On the porch specifically. Like, not the house, just the porch.
Right. So it's become a traditional style in the South. Georgia, Louisiana, South Carolina.
I saw a lot in Louisiana painted that color, but I just thought it was because they were like, also saw a lot of lime green right. places in Louisiana. So right. I just thought that they were freaky deaky with the colors.
Yeah. You see that in the Keys too, with like
yeah,
the
key wild. Lime green. They go wild. Yeah. The place that we got our tattoos done, it was literally like this neon purple building. And I was like, wow, that's cool. Let's go there.
You got another tattoo?
When did you get that? Where have I been? I got it in New Orleans.
Where have I been? How long has that been on your arm?
It's my Papa Legba.
How long has that tattoo been on your arm?
Since I went to New Orleans.
When did you go?
Like September?
What?
I think.
Where have I been? What is wrong with me?
I don't know. It is kind of close to my other tattoo.
She has a giant tattoo on her forearm.
It's not giant. He's a little Papa Legba, a little voodoo doll.
Half of your forearm.
It is not.
What? How did I not notice that?
You wanna look at him?
What is wrong
He's
with
so
me?
Cute. Matt also got a tattoo. We got them together. It was really beautiful. We're doing this new thing now. Starting in New Orleans, we're going to get tattoos, like, wherever we go on vacation.
First off, how do you even do that? Because I can't even get a tattoo where I fucking live. People are ridiculous.
So, like, we were going to go to this one place in New Orleans. I had, like, looked it up. But some of the reviews were kind of shite. So we just started, like, walking around. And, like, we walked past this one place. And I was like, let me look into this place. I Googled it. They had good reviews. They accepted walk-ins. So, like, we walked in. And they were fucking awesome. And my tattoo was actually the guy that owned the tattoo shop. He did mine. And he was amazing. And he was so nice. And he was kind of cute. And Matt got his done by some other girl. And it was just like, it was really great. I just think it's different. Like, I don't know. It's different in other places than here.
How do I see you every week and have not noticed that on your arm?
I thought I showed you.
I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone right now. You always wear tank tops too. It's not like you were hiding
no.
this from me.
Tank tops or t-shirts, I'm run hot. There it is. It could have just been, you probably saw it and thought it was my pumpkin.
Something is wrong with me. Okay. I am, like, gobsmacked right now.
Watch out. My next tattoo is going to be in St. Petersburg in September.
Oh, God.
I don't know what I'm going to get.
All right. So, where was I? Traditional style. Anyway, so this folklore has created these styles.
Oh, yes, the blue, and then we went to the keys, and
And it's even in new build homes, they're doing it, and like, it's not really even known where the origin is from. Like, most people don't know, but it has this really cool history. They paint window sills, doorways, and shutters, because when you live in Florida, shutters are an aesthetic thing you have to have on your house.
Most people.
So there are many similarities between the Boo Hag and other legends. I can't talk.
It's okay.
You know, you don't have to be able to talk to have a podcast, right?
No. We all just stumble through life together.
Vampires and fairies are known to be stopped by piles of salt, rice, or sand, where they will be forced to count until sunrise.
The counting sounds very familiar now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Salt circles are used to protect yourself from bad spirits and witches also. They can't cross into your protective circle. And the most interesting parallel to me is sleep.
To you.
Sleep paralysis.
So you're a Boo Hag?
No. Not yet.
If you die during your sleep paralysis... It is really hard to talk.
I could be. My husband has sleep paralysis. It could be me. I could be the Boo Hag. Be very convenient for me. I wouldn't have to go anywhere.
You do like salt too much, though.
I love salt.
Boo Hags don't like salt because they'll dry up like little slugs.
Right. So the Boo Hag sits on your chest and you cannot move, and people who have experienced sleep paralysis have reported a sensation of chest pressure and then wake up gasping for breath. And it's also been used in the Gullah culture as a way to prevent, like, to keep kids away from strangers, like a stranger danger type thing.
Especially fat strangers. They'll lay on your chest and you can't breathe.
No, like, the way that they walk amongst regular people, like... You don't go up and talk to someone you don't know because they could be a bad person. So,
I mean, you don't have to create a fucking urban legend. You could just be like, people are bad people.
Right.
Stay away from them.
Well, that's what they did back in the day. They made up horrible stories. They're
still doing this now.
Like, think about like German, like
Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is essentially just don't take candy. Right?
That's the legend of the Boo Hag. It's one of my favorites, and I listened.
It is one of your favorites? I've never heard of this, and it's one of your favorites?
Which I wish you had heard of it, because I was hoping somewhere you'd be like, oh yeah, I listened to this podcast, and you would tell me what it is, because I listened to this podcast in October, and I, for the life of me, cannot figure out what it is. And it was one of those podcasts where it's just like, you know, like Wondery does it, or like, it's just like...
Is like a subscriber podcast.
Yeah, and it was just for like a daily podcast that was released just in October.
Oh.
That isn't around anymore, but like a whole bunch of other podcasts like advertised it. And it was just like scary.
I mean, the counting thing sounds familiar, but I don't think... I haven't heard anything else about it.
It was just scary stories. And one of the stories was about a Boo Hag. And it was this woman, and she had this beautiful... Louisiana, New Orleans accent. Mm. And in the story, she was a therapist, and part of her home was also her office. And so at night, she started hearing this weird noise in her skylight. It sounded like someone was trying to get in. The next day, she woke up really tired, and she contacted her sister, and I remember there was some sort of like grief in the family where she like didn't talk to her parents any longer, and like the sister was trying to convince her, you need to like talk to mom and dad, and she's like, they just don't believe in the stuff that I believe in. And it was such a beautiful story. And she at the end found out that when she was a child, she was having visits from a Boo Hag, and someone...
She was a child?
Yes. And someone had told her, you need to find something for it to count at night to distract it. So that night, she found a huge tin of pennies underneath her brother's bed. And she's like, well, this is great for the boo hag. So she took it, put it by her bed so to distract the boo hag. And then her brother died that night.
Oh, my God. She took the pennies.
Yeah.
Put it there
to protect himself. And so she lived with this her whole life. And the boo hag was coming back to her now as an adult. And she ended up going to, like, a witch doctor who told her about the blue paint. She trapped the boo hag and poured salt on it. But it was just such a beautiful story. And I'm so angry that I cannot find this podcast. I even went, like, scrolling through all of my, like, recent listens. I scrolled back to, like, 2020. And it's just not there.
Huh. That's insane.
I know. So
I'm kind of creeped out about boo hags.
if anybody knows what that was or remembers that podcast, I swear it was just
email
October.
freefearfulfriendspodcast right. @gmail.com.
It was just October of, like, 22 when I listened to it.
Damn.
But anyways.
That's really spooky.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Join us next week for Rel's turn to distract me from life.
I'm very nervous.
Do you know what kind of story you're doing? I'm excited.
I think I'm going to do a true crime. I'm going to bite the bullet. Okay. I think I'm going to terrify everybody.
I can't wait. Until then, thank you for listening to Fearful Friends Podcast. Bye, friends.
Bye-bye.